listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Synthesizer, microwave me, give me your drug so I can make seven babies, pump my breasts up, can you suck the fat up, please make my life appear like ain't no such thing as bad luck, my nose ain't right like I need a new one, just take your pick, a yellow, red, or black, or a blue one. Virtual reality, virtual bullshit, synthesizer preachers can reach you up in the pulpit. Who a bitch, give me my gas so I can smoke this nigga, tell his mama not to cry because they can't come no quicker than to take his daddy to make them. Niggas writing verbatim, thought provoking records, radio never played them. It's thick quick grits, new improve, hurry hurry rush rush, world on the move, marijuana illegal but cigarettes cool, I might look kind of funny but I ain't no fool. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on Saturday.
Yes we are.
Saturday morning, guys, so you guys know what that means. Well, Saturday afternoon technically, a little late start, but it means it's feedback time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna read all the stuff you guys sent us in, 5-star reviews. We're gonna look at all the stuff that you said about the podcast on the blackouttips.com, because you can leave comments there for each podcast episode. We're gonna read your emails, we're gonna play your voicemails if they went through. We're gonna do all that stuff today. And we appreciate y'all for even messing with us and supporting the show and keeping it going. So looking forward to that.
Yes, we are. And one thing I'd like to say before you move on, I think we forgot to say this last week, but EVE gave us a bag full of stuff. I don't remember if we mentioned her name or not.
We didn't. And okay. She left a note too, right?
Yes, she did.
Rod and Karen, I hope you enjoy the treats as much as I enjoy your podcast, EVE, with a heart.
Yes,
thank you, and we have been enjoying your treats.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I did want to mention, we were on a podcast as guest.
Yes.
We were on the podcast of, hold on, let me actually make sure I got the right name. I know it's Black Love, but it's like, mm-hmm. I know it's like another word in there too. But we were on a podcast about Black Love, because mm-hmm. you know we black and we love each other and stuff. Black Love Matters is the name of it. Mm-hmm. We had a really good time.
Yeah, it's a really good podcast.
We got interviewed about our relationship and stuff and the podcast, and we also did an advice segment. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Y'all go check them out.
All right. Let's actually give props to the people that took the time out to donate to the show, because mm-hmm. you know, without them, we wouldn't be living life this fabulous, okay guys? So let me play my donation song.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
That's right, new day. Time to talk about this
new
money. Jason J, recurring donator. Thank you, Jason. Hey. We appreciate you. Katie G, recurring donator. Thank you, Katie. Adam S with the recurring donation. Adam, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Michael S, recurring donator, and he's a brand new recurring donator. Thanks,
hey.
Mike. Bambi H, recurring donator. Thank you, Bambi. She's also new. Yeah. Go to the new members class.
Say, Bambi sound new.
Yeah, y'all go to the new members class, okay, mm-hmm. guys? Conrad will lead you guys into the worship.
Mm-hmm.
Nerds in Luxury, the luxurious nerds, recurring donation.
Yes.
Asia D, yes, Asia D, recurring donator.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya D, Latanya D, recurring donator. Latanya D. Candace H, recurring donator. Thank you, Candace.
Hey, Candace.
Chriselle M with the recurring donation. Mm-hmm. Sending the young people's choir. We're gonna send them on a pilgrimage to Africa. Justin J, recurring donator. Thank you very much. Marvin B, yes, Marvin B, recurring donator. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, baby.
Early Days of Photography, recurring donator. K M, I think this must, that one's new
too.
I think.
Yeah, I don't remember that name either.
Yeah, Nicole F, recurring donator. Jay Fool, the homie Jay Fool, started a brand new recurring donator. Thank you,
baby.
Mr. Span, of course, from the Span Report podcast, gave us a recurring donation. Andy S hit us with the recurring donation. Thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Corey B, recurring donator. Thank you, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan H, recurring donator. Mary H, recurring donator. Man, it's only been a week. Y'all came through. Omot A, recurring donor. I'm pretty sure that's new.
Mm-hmm. A lot of new people today.
Janine R, recurring donor. Thank you, Janine. Patrick D, recurring donor. We appreciate you, Patrick.
Hey, baby.
Alexander M, recurring donor. Thank you so much. Eric M, recurring donor. Attitude check.
Bronco Pride.
Correct. Waste Bees by Sewer, recurring donator, I mean. Michael Irvin, Playmaker, recurring donator. Jasmine A, recurring donator, and she's also brand new. Got a one-time donation from Kenneth C, who writes, sorry I had to miss NegroCon, but we really enjoy hearing the live show recording and the recap. I put my friend Ali onto the Blackout Tips in the last few months, and he's hooked. He loves the show, and so do I. Oh, B-Touch. Thanks, man.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Appreciate you, B-Touch. Mm-hmm. Tyrone M, recurring donator. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jason F, recurring donator. Thank you, Jason. Mm-hmm. Terry W, recurring donator. And that's all, but good grief, that was a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
We was gone for 2 weeks, and we ain't take that long to read them. Woo. So much better when you All right, let's talk about the 5-star reviews you guys left us. Those are our faves, okay? Joe Soflaw, I guess South Florida, says, one of my favorite 5-stars, Blackout Test, is one of those must-listen podcasts, and I have lots of podcasts in my feed. Rod and Karen are amazing and bring their sense of humor to discussions about various topics. Game of Thrones and Walking Dead fans need to check out their episode recaps, too. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
RVA Girl says, I got 5 on it.
Hey.
5 stars. Ever since subscribing to this podcast at the end of last year, I've been absolutely obsessed and always listen to the new episodes as soon as they pop up on my phone. I know it's not easy, but y'all always keep it effervescent, intelligent, and I'm always singing along while trying to chuckle quietly at my desk. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you listening and supporting.
We do.
Don't forget, if you're not from the U.S., if you're in another country, if you're in Canada, Mexico, Guam, I don't know, all the other countries, and that's not the content, the actual 50 states of the United States. Mm-hmm. Let us know, because we cannot see your 5-star reviews.
Yeah, I mean, we might check Canada every now and then, but right, you know,
but we need y'all to let us know
on through social media, send an email, like something to let us know,
and then we'll go check it and we'll read it. As people, we got fans all over the world, because I can see it from the downloads. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you go to iTunes in your respective location, mm-hmm, just let us know and we will check it out, because like I said, we want to keep a track of this, man. We want to know what you guys think about the show.
Right. And somebody somewhere mad, I left them a review and they didn't read it. We didn't know, baby. You got to let us know.
Yeah, like there's so many countries that I can't check them all. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're like in somewhere in Africa, one of those, if you're in Ghana and you leave us a 5-star review, let us know. We will read your review.
In Australia, let us know, because we don't get that either.
We absolutely will check your shit out. So, all right, let's go ahead and get into the other reviews from Stitcher. I think we got one new review on Stitcher. Where did I put that? Here we go. Akim says, great show, 5 stars. It's Akim. I'm a long time listener. It's Akeem, a long time listener, and I'm overdue for a review. I'm just here to say that Hot Ninja cover is pure flames. Keep up the great work. Oh, so some people do like the covers. Okay, cool. All right.
Thank you.
You're the reason that we keep it going, because people like you, you know, that really appreciate what we do. All right, let's see. We had feedback show 1469, which was NegroCon 2017 recap, the first ever NegroCon.
Yes, sir.
Y'all did leave some comments. Let me check out what y'all had to say about this. We got 4 comments. Oh wait, I'm on the wrong page. We got 4 comments. First we got Falcons Diva, who says, I love the detailed recap of Negro Con and your experience flying first class, lol at poor people snacks. Your flight episode, your flight examples remind me of two experiences. Back in 2009, my girls and I were traveling to DC for the inauguration. We all had the status on Delta, so we were able to board early and get our carry-ons in the overhead bin. My girl's bag was in the bin across from me, but she was a few rows back. This older white guy gets on, decides to put his laptop in the same bin with her bag. He shifts her bag around, about to put his laptop in. After he gets in there, he couldn't close the bin because of where he moved her bag. He then shrugged his shoulders and says under his breath something like, oh well. I looked him dead in the face, stood up, and proceeded to put my girl's bag back where it was originally. Then I put his laptop on top of her bag, but I wasn't very gentle with it. He kept saying, be careful, and I ignored him. After I sat down, he got up and placed his laptop under the seat in front of him, where that mofo should have been in the first place.
Right.
I was not to be messed with, as we were going to see our black president take office. Secondly, on my recent trip to Abu Dhabi, girl, you be globetrotting. What you doing in you got the plane in your bio on Instagram, Falcons Diva? Let me find
I ain't
out.
Mad. Your passport probably full.
Right? I had economy comfort seats overseas. This class had the same priority as first class, so everybody started getting in line to get on the plane, and rude folks were cutting in front of me. I was cool because all I had was my backpack, so if there was no more overhead space, I could easily put it under the seat. So all these folks rushed the board before me, but we realized that we had to take a shuttle from the terminal to the plane. Everyone's getting on the first shuttle, and I see a guy waving folks to the second shuttle, so I head down there. He thanked me for coming, and I get a prime seat near the door. Mind you, it was standing room only on the first shuttle. Well, the second shuttle actually left before the first shuttle. Guess who was the first to board the plane? Yeah, girl. I was looking real smug at those folks that kept cutting in front of me at the gate. I'm headed to DC in August to see the museum. I already know I'm not gonna make it all the way through in one visit, but I'm definitely making it to the restaurant. As an Aggie, I must see the huge picture of the Greensboro Four on my first trip. Ah, okay. Yeah. They had them in there several times, but I've also seen that picture before. But yeah, man, white people crazy. It really should be called the White People Ain't Shit Museum. Jay Full says, hearing the Negro Con recaps across the participating shows made my heart so full. I've been listening to Blackout Tips since episode 10 or so, and y'all were my gateway drug to podcasts. Y'all set the bar so high that I often find it hard to get interested in other podcasts that aren't consistent or just seem to be going through the motions. While y'all were away, I discovered that my student discount title plug had expired, and I was paying the full $20 for the hi-fi. Yo, me too, though, but I like the hi-fi.
Dog. I do, too. I like the hi-fi. It's worth every dime. It's so crystal clear.
I'm not even a music nerd like that, but I can definitely tell the fucking difference.
Yes, especially if you're in your vehicle. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're in your car, you'll be like, God damn, I didn't know this little light fluke that blew 5 seconds into the song. Where the fuck that come from?
Right.
I mean, this song 20 years.
If I have a choice between something on Spotify or something on Tidal, I listen to it on Tidal. The only thing that I would say for Tidal that's a little like, and you can't share your playlist, I don't think. I can share it on social media, but like, I don't know if you can. I don't actually know if that's true.
I think you,
because I've created playlists, I just never shared them.
Yeah, you probably can.
I wonder if you can follow my playlist. You know what? We'll do an experiment after the show. We'll see.
If you
follow me on Twitter, I'm gonna tweet out a playlist that I made, and y'all let me know if y'all can follow it, and then we'll see. Because I know Spotify is like really tuned in with your social media, like Facebook and shit. This is a little different. Anyway, but it do sound better though. I did notice the difference.
Come on, I love the difference. It is a big, big, big difference.
Yep. All right. What's wrong? You're moving on my screen. Yeah, Karen, you're fine in my chat. Who's having problems?
Oh, somebody having problems. And
oh, D Ramsey PH, yeah, done.
And my for some reason.
Yeah, everybody else say you fine.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to use the other camera, so but keep talking.
Okay. So yeah, J-Full, that was his. He says since I didn't notice the difference in my budget, I decided to donate a little extra to podcasts I love in addition to premium. So proud of you guys. Truly amazed how far you come. Hey man, thank you, J-Full.
Thank you.
Sasha Media says, NegroCon was amazing and restorative. Thank you guys so much for helping to bring it to your listeners. I hope it becomes a regular thing. I got my life at the end of the blackout tips, when the blackout tips came up, of course. It also reminded me of how freaking funny Where's My 40 Acres and Sandy Check are.
They are so good. Don't underestimate people, y'all. I know some people go, I listen to y'all and I don't listen to nobody. There is some good shit out there. Branch out when we suggest these people to you. We don't suggest just any old body to y'all guys.
We don't bring y'all no trash.
Well, ain't that true? If they come on this show, they are not trash.
Speaking of which, this week we're supposed to bring two new podcast, Missandry with Marsha and Ray are gonna be guests tomorrow on Sunday. And I think Tuesday we're supposed to have a crew from Playable Characters podcast, which we've been raving over. So
much fun.
I think you guys will be introduced to some more podcasts if you're not listening to those already.
Yes.
The best thing I now have faces to put with all the voices I listen to every week. Karen, you are strikingly gorgeous and just lit up the stage.
Oh, thank you.
That's what I'm saying. Can y'all believe I get to have sex with that? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord.
The game is rigged for men. I was way off base with most of these guys, LOL, but now I can see your expressions when they say certain things during podcasts. Somehow it makes the shows funnier. Anyway, I hope y'all keep it up. Thank you, social media.
Thank you.
And the poll was, did you know what amuse-bouche is? Because we did not.
It was a good chocolate ball. That's probably not the official name that said, but it was a chocolate ball with chocolate.
We was up in that damn fancy ass
restaurant
place.
Down there with
Twan. Like, I wonder what that's going to be.
Yeah, I was having a ball down there with Twan and Jackson and them, just acting all. They put all the country people on the right side of the table so we could just roast down there and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm fancy. 46% of y'all said, yes, y'all fancy. Or no, I didn't. 54% of y'all said no, I didn't. Jane says my country ass knows what an amuse-bouche is only because I watch a lot of cooking and food shows. Never been to a restaurant that serves them. Well, something new for everybody, I guess. Because I'm not even gonna front. I was like, what? What now?
Who? What? The bouche? What is we doing here?
They gonna come amuse us?
Right.
They gonna tell some jokes?
Right. Then they got you these tiny ass forks and spoons. What the fuck I supposed to do with this? By the time I finish nibbling on, I could have popped it in my mouth.
Yeah, I had to take a selfie with that little fork because I felt so fancy.
No.
Anyway, episode 1470, Chicken Crimes, where we had my dad on for Father's Day, belated Father's Day. And I saw a lot of people on social media really enjoyed my dad. A lot of people was tweeting about him. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we love having his parents on.
D. Ramsey PH Dunn says, 5 stars and beyond. Rod's father is too cool. Enjoy your podcast, even though I spent 1 hour in church and missed the last half. The remix of the Ken doll pointing the gun about one chicken nugget and everything prior to me going to church at 10:30 a.m. yesterday was classic. Love you guys, and I wish the podcast blessings. Thank you,
baby.
Brooklyn Shoebay says, love this episode. Rod's dad got the smooth, quiet storm voice. Loved it and his comments. And when Rod called Cornrow Ken doll Trey songs, I just burst out laughing because he does look like Trey. More podcasts with Rod's folks. Thank you. I'll see if they want to be on again.
I know, right?
I mean, they don't have to come once a year. They can, I mean, yeah, they listen to the show. They know they welcome anytime.
I know, we keep it to once a year, but yeah.
I mean, we know for a fact they will be on at least once a year, but they can always come on. Falcon Diva says, great show. Papa Marl has so much personality. I love that he truly enjoyed his time on the show. Rod, your parents are great, and I can see why he turned out to be a pretty cool dude. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they are great. The poll was, would you get violent over chicken? Yes or no? I think this poll results a little bit. I'm gonna have to call y'all some liars. I hate to do it. I hate to do it, but 41% of y'all said yes, you'll get violent over chicken, and I believe y'all. But 59% said y'all would not get violent over chicken, and unless suddenly 59% of our audience not black, I'm gonna have to go with the y'all some motherfucking bald ass face liars. is my blood sugar is low, I will, says Brooklyn Shoe Babe, an honest, upstanding woman of Christ. But the rest of y'all heathens, saved lives. We had episode 1471 BET Awards 2017, where me and Karen watched the BET Awards on Sunday night, and then we recapped this shit.
Yes, sir.
And we had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
talking about
I love the BET Awards. BET Awards is literally on. I can't really speak for Facebook, but I know for Twitter it's like a big ass sun reunion. I think some people, that's the only time of the year they tweet, and then they go away. Like they go, it's BET Awards, let me log in. Because you see people who hadn't tweeted in like months come out the blue. It is so, it'd be so lit and so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be the jokes and the gifts. And now, Twitter, on the actual Twitter, app, and also the Twitter, app on your computer has stepped this game up. So now you could actually use gifts and things like that, which makes it so much funner.
Yep. Also, it looks like, right when I clicked on it, our website just went down.
Uh-oh.
For some reason, unless it's just not connected for me.
Oh, let me
but
check by you.
Yeah, I just clicked on the comments. It was like, nigga, what comments? Error timed out. Oh, all right, that was a good feedback show, guys. I guess we will see what happens tomorrow. It's working on my phone.
Okay.
Oh wait, this means I gotta go look this shit up on my phone instead of the site on my computer. Am I still on the screen on my computer?
Oh yeah, internet, everything got working. Internet working, chat room working, everything working.
Man, this is some bullshit, y'all. Hold on, let me see if I put it in Chrome, if it pop up. Ain't this some shit? Live podcasting,
right?
Live podcasting with the black guy who tips. All right, let's see if I put it in here. Maybe it's just my browser or something. I don't know.
We're about to see.
Damn, it came up in Chrome. What the fuck?
Ah!
It's just hating on Firefox right now, dog.
Okay, well then.
Anyway, I guess I'll read it through Chrome. This
fuck it, we do it live.
I'll go on record as this being some bullshit, though. Because
come on.
I didn't do anything in Firefox. I'm going to close Firefox, try to open back up. But I didn't do anything wrong in Firefox. It just was like, fuck it. Anyway, here's the comments. Hi Karen and Karen, this is from Rigo. Hi Karen and Karen's husband, I love you.
Hey,
both
baby,
I love you both.
Thank you.
On Bruno Mars, there's been a lot of discussion as to how his person of color POC background of being Hawaiian Filipino identifies him as non-black, but the problem with that argument is that it completely ignores his Puerto Rican roots. Historically, Puerto Rico has an indigenous population until it was invaded by European settler Christopher Columbus, which led to slaves being brought to the island. There's been a lot going on politically since that time, but eventually Puerto Rico would go on to pass a one drop rule. Oh, we all know the infamous one drop rule, where a person would be considered racially white if they could just prove in the past four generations they had a white blood relative. Oh, so they had a reverse one drop rule. Okay.
Ah!
Shit, moving on up.
I'm trying to tell you.
So white Puerto Rico ethnic makeup is technically considered white by some. There's a long genealogy of these POC having African roots that have been politically denied by the anti-black culture. Back to Bruno Mars, he's come out and talked about his ancestry and how he's not ashamed of being Puerto Rican or black. Since cultural appropriation is the adoption or use of elements of one culture by members of another culture, I find it difficult to accuse Bruno Mars of cultural appropriation. He's a black man giving credit to and using black music to make the bank and represent his own experiences. The fact that he also has genes from other places in the world is irrelevant unless one is trying to erase, challenge his black Afro-Latinx experience.
And that, bingo. Got people just trying to say he ain't black, so fuck him. And I'm like, we're just a welcoming group overall. You know, mm-hmm. It's some people. And truth be told, why people are judging, let's keep it real, there's no race that's quote unquote pure. Why people quote unquote won't point fingers and judge, you ain't black. You brown. You are brown.
Well, I will say this, from what I have heard, and this is not with, I want to emphasize very seriously, I do not give a fuck.
Mm-mm.
For the most part. Like, I don't really, and this is not, like I said, when I told y'all earlier that I'm not really a fan or a stan of his, like, I have no problem with Bruno Mars. But I just literally haven't had the time to really go through his catalog. So it's not even about like, I like his music so much. Y'all stop talking about Bruno. I literally did not even know any of this shit about he's black or not black. I always just looked at him, thought he's something, and moved the fuck on. Cause my life is not that fuck. Like, I'm not the arbiter of who gets to do black shit.
Nope.
And I know that I do not get to decide that. And normally, the thing that gets you kicked out of doing black shit is saying some fucked up shit about black people. That's right. Typically that's been the way that it's worked. Even these white people that do black shit, normally they don't get kicked the fuck out until they say something fucked up about black people, and then we'd be like, if you don't get the fuck out of here. Black people are so, in my opinion, the reason we are so fucking beautiful is because we come in every shape, shade, color. We love people who love us back.
Right.
We accept people who sometimes don't even deserve it, but we will accept you in and show you love until you fucking wound us, and then you get the fuck on. But that's why I love us, you know what I mean? Like that's what I want to spread with the things I do. I want people to feel that warmth too. Like, mm-hmm. No, I don't want to be hurt by you. No, I do not have to bend over for you or any of this shit. But if you can come in and respectfully, you know, find your place, find your path, I don't have a problem with you learning my dance moves. I don't have a problem with you fucking singing a song. I don't have a problem with you being in a movie. Like, I don't have a problem with these things. Other people might. All black people are not a monolith, but
right.
So all that to say, I didn't even know about him never claiming being black, or him somehow being black but not claiming it. Like, I never heard that. I never heard him deny his blackness,
right,
or say that he is black, to be honest. And people were sending out interview quotes, but every interview quote kind of was the same. It was like, well, I'm Puerto Rican, and black music is American music. Like, it wasn't him being like, I'm black or I'm not black. My assumption was he must not be black because he's not saying I'm black, and it sounded like he wasn't trying to say I grew up feel like I'm black and I grew up this way. I don't know, you know. And also, we in the South. Like, I know up north and stuff, like, you have different like kind of, right, cultural or ethnic diversity in some, like, especially like New York City and, mm-hmm, shit. Like, you might have like, oh, that is the Cuban part of our city, this is, right, the Mexican part of our city, this is the China part of our city, this is Japan part of our city. Listen, Koreatown, we don't really have that here. So my experience isn't one of that's different. To down here in the South, it's basically white, black, and other.
Yeah, that's how it's divided,
right? And to be honest, if you ain't white, then you kind of with us.
That's how I view it, whether
you want to be or not saying it. Mm-hmm. Some motherfuckers don't want to be with us, but the reality of it is they ain't fucking with you if you ain't white,
right?
Now the big ass difference is up north, they're very permissive with the idea of like, you can be Cuban and from the Bronx and say nigga. You can be Puerto Rican, you can say nigga. You could be Latino and say nigga. Like, that's just some thing. Like, I'm Dominican and I say nigga, but I'm not black, you know. Like, that's a thing that they do up there that we don't do down here. Mm-hmm. Like, if you say nigga, you better be fucking black. And that's pretty much the litmus test, right? Like,
yep, that's now treated across the board to everybody,
right? So it's a little bit different. All I'm saying is that the lines are so fucking different that it never bothered me or stuck out to me that Bruno Mars's work, like, I always just like, yeah, he doing black shit, he doing black music, but he obviously appreciates the culture. Like, it's not, it doesn't feel exploitative, and that's what this cultural appropriation shit comes down to for a lot of people, is feelings. Some people just don't feel that he should get a pass, some people feel that he should, and that's the end, you know, because black people are the arbiters of this shit. If enough black people are cool with it, then it's cool. No, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you talk down to other people about it or talk up to other people about it, if the culture has decided we don't got a problem with this dude, that's just how it's gonna be. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're free to voice your opinion to the opposite, the same way that woman was free to talk about Serena Williams. If you want to have an unpopular black opinion, that's fine. But yeah, Bruno is just not the hill to die on for a lot of people. And I don't, mm-hmm, and like I said, all that to go back to, I don't know his roots. I've heard conflicting stories about his roots. I also don't care.
Correct.
I'm sorry, were you gonna say something? Mm. Okay. Anonymous says, I agree with Rego. I haven't had cable for about 3 years now, but I always watched the BET Awards and BET Hip Hop Awards. I enjoyed them because they were filled with acts I knew and liked, and unlike the Grammys from the 1980s to the 1990s. Before the BET Awards, I had the Soul Train Awards. I enjoyed the BET Awards recap. You both are always funny and on point, smiley face. I was glad to hear that they also did a tribute to George Michael. I remember the controversy when he was nominated for a Soul Train Award in the late '80s. I feel like George Michael was always making soulful R&B music, the same with Culture Club and Sam Smith. Like you said, Rod, what's great about us is we can accept others and welcome them in. Yeah, and I don't want to lose that.
Mm-mm. And I don't care what nobody say, George Michael was lit. Like, his songs go in a jam, and black people love that shit, and you can't erase that.
Yeah, I don't find any strength in imitating white people's ability to ostracize people because they don't look like you.
Right.
I don't find any, so I will not be claiming that part of whiteness or that mentality. Like, that's fine for certain people in certain spaces. I can understand it if it's like, we need to protect this, or we want to have a conference and we want only black people to be at it. If that's something you want to do, that's fine. But the idea of being like, all music that black people have been done is only something black people can do, nah, fuck that. I'm not with that. You know what I mean? Innovation and the way we affect the world is just part of what we have to deal with. And mm-hmm. and also, it sucks, but people that don't understand trying to step in and manipulate the culture, we're gonna have to deal with that too. And if we don't fuck with them, general consensus will stop. Like, the general consensus is, if you get enough people that don't fuck with you, it always comes to an end. Vanilla Ice, Iggy, Informer, that nigga Snow, like, shit, even Timberlake shit. He had to go back to, like, let me do some white shit, because it also, he eroded all his goodwill. Like, it happens, dog. When people stop fucking with you, that's the rule. But yeah, it's a messy rule. There's no one thing. There's no, like, well, let's keep this guy out, let's keep that guy out. It's just how people feel about you. And I respect black people enough to say our feelings are valid. So if black people don't have a problem with Bruno Mars in general, I don't have a problem with Bruno Mars in general. Mm-mm. Lisa W says, cultural appropriation is a non-starter for me. I just can't get worked up about it, but that's just me. I have friends and relatives that get heated, and they have every right. You feel what you feel, but once your art is out in the world, especially music, it belongs to everyone, in my opinion.
Right.
Hurt and Angry Mary is the best Mary. That may be selfish, but it's true. I disappeared down the K-pop black hole a couple years ago, and I'm still there. Thanks for the constantly great shows.
Oh, K-pop is flames.
It is flames, but now you don't make an argument about some appropriation.
No.
That might be where it should start, but I was literally in the motherfucking, Soul Food. I was in Soul Food in the restaurant and jamming my motherfucking ass out to them Korean gangsters, so.
I was partying. They had a video of Naruto where they had...
Well, that wasn't K-pop.
Okay.
That was just, it was Kendrick Lamar's Rigor Mortis, and they just put Naruto animation to the beat. Like, it wasn't
really neat.
Yeah, that wasn't K-pop. By K-pop, I mean like
the videos we were seeing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and but we was looking like K-pop gangster rap, like whatever the fuck they had on. It wasn't just some old like it's seven,
it wasn't girls
or guys. Like, they had women that were rapping too, but it wasn't like seven teenage looking Asian people dancing in a circle. Like, no, this shit was, it was no NSYNC. Like, these motherfuckers look like like you hop in the wrong neighborhood and you get robbed by them Korean people, and you be like, what the fuck happened?
They look at you like you don't belong here.
Right. They be like, I don't know what you thought this was, but we got gangsters over here too.
Come on.
But yeah, I was like, this probably appropriation, but it didn't bother me. I don't know. I just don't have a problem with it.
And it's really huge over there. Like, a lot of times Americans have a tendency to ignore shit that's not in America, but yeah, that is very popular over there.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I don't have, I don't have a lot of whatever. Like, I understand if I was in there and I saw some other black person being like, this is some bullshit, I'd be like, I feel you. But it just ain't like that for me, and I'm not gonna lie for y'all. Like, I don't get mad when I see it. It really takes some egregious shit for me to get mad.
Same here.
Max says, honestly, I didn't realize Bruno wasn't black until recently, so this whole appropriation conversation caught me off guard. Kung Fusha says, great BET Awards recap, y'all. The new edition tribute was a highlight of the night. People can say what they want, but when it comes to tributes, BET gets it right. My man Ralph Tresvant was out here looking like the uncle that be massaging women on Facebook, messaging women on Facebook, like, hey, baby girl. And Bobby with that damn fur is an old nigga goes. Sidebar, you never seen Ralph and Montel Williams in the same place. Stay woke.
Aw, shit now.
That's a good point. Really Dark Knight says, I might be able to get down with the cultural appropriation conversation if I knew what the rules were. As I see it, if you like the artist, then it's fine. If you don't, they can go fuck themselves.
I think that's how most people treat it.
I really do feel like that's you just stumbled on the real. Yes. Bruno Mars is jamming, so I fucks with that dude. I guess I don't have the time and energy to fight about what I get down with.
Come on.
Don't like most of these YouTube remix videos, Karen's evil husband. First of all, they're called acoustic covers. Second of all, though, a lot of times I think it comes down to if you like that artist or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain shit that, they're like, listen. I think I've said it on the show before, and I mean it every time I say it. I miss when people just didn't like somebody and didn't try to rationalize it or shame everybody else. Like, I just miss not, like, I don't like Justin Timberlake. Okay. You know what I mean? You're allowed to not like them. You don't have to, like, write a dissertation. But once you not liking them becomes some shit I gotta do, man, fuck that. Like, that's how most people operate. It's like, that's your business. You don't like that motherfucker. But I really wish we could go back to that, because some of this shit, it really is about who you don't like. It's the Kardashians do some shit, nobody liked them. You know, I mean, people must like them because they famous, but you know what I mean? Like, nobody, I've never seen anybody really cape or defend those motherfuckers. They fuck up. We be like, these motherfuckers appropriating, and it's the end, but it's also because nobody liked their ass. Like, it's easy. Nobody, I mean, and when I say nobody, I mean black people. Nobody really likes Amy Schumer. So motherfuckers, when she fuck up, it's fuck her all day. She can get out of my face, blah, blah, blah. Cause just, you don't find black people that stand for her. Lena Dunham. You're not gonna find a lot of black people that stand for her.
Mm-mm.
That's, you know, that's why it's fuck. But Bruno Mars, it's a lot of black people that love that dude. So you just not gonna find the support to like get him out of the paint. You just not gonna have it. Mm-mm. No matter how cogent you think that argument is, you might as well just be like, I don't like that nigga, I don't want him doing that shit.
And people go, okay, and keep it trucking, which is what most people did. Most people was like, I'm not arguing with y'all, I love Bruno Mars, and press play and kept it trucking,
because that's what they gonna tell you. You know what I mean? Like, when you be like, but it's because of this reason and that reason, they gonna be like, nigga, just, you, we know you don't like him. And they gonna, that's what they, that's all it's gonna come down to. Is like, matter of fact, someone just said in the chat, Shay, Timberlake still hasn't apologized to Janet. Fuck him. Mm-mm. Exactly. I don't like that nigga. That's all it took. People, black people love Justin Timberlake over them goddamn, Timberland beats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can't revise history on that shit. That, mm-mm, that album was jamming, and everybody had it, and everybody was like, my love. Like, we was all come getting on that shit. Like, everybody fuck with that album. That nigga did that Janet shit. Listen, I watched The Change in my parents' living room.
Right.
As my aunt and then was like, oh, like, everybody put the pieces together. And afterwards, he was talking about some, he didn't know.
Mm-mm. He moonwalked his ass back, and a lot of people have been on the fuck him train since.
You ain't know, bro. Mm-mm. It's only, what would even matter about the show if you was pulling off a piece of her outfit and there wasn't no titty under there? Like, what, literally, what would it matter, dog? Like, it's the, you had to fucking know, bruh. You had to know. Anyway.
Yeah, and
so, that's when people turned on him, because they didn't like him anymore. It wasn't like, nigga was appropriating all the time before that. He was appropriating all the time after that. It was just, people was like, we're done with you, so we don't like you, so you can't have our shit no more. It's a very simple equation to me on the outside looking in, but I understand there's like a whole Tumblr world, there's a whole fucking like debate and blog world about this shit. It don't even seem that deep to me. Mm-hmm. If I don't like you, stay the fuck away from everything I like. That's come how on. That seemed like the simple way.
Yes, sir.
All right, The poll is, Bruno Mars appropriating black music? Yes, and he can go fuck himself. Yes, but he's doing it the right way. And nah, 65% of y'all said nah, he not appropriating. 28% says yes, but he's doing it the right way, which means 7% of y'all said yes and he can go fuck himself. Brooklyn Shoebay says, when it comes to cultural appropriation in the United States, I'm sometimes hesitant to call it, because how can you tell if someone's appropriating? Things like hip hop culture and gay drag culture have become so ubiquitous, it could slip into your regular routine or style. I've been saying things like Shay T and Yes Queen without actually knowing where it came from, because it was just around me all the time.
Right.
I use Yiddish words like Mazel Tov and Puerto Rican slang because I live in New York City, not because I'm appropriating. Listening to Bruno Mars' second album, I definitely heard a Michael Jackson and Prince influence, but I don't think I would consider him stealing that style. He also always talks about his influence. Yeah, that's the other thing too, is like, we traffic in so much, I don't know, culture is just meant to be spread in most cases,
and they cross all the time, because like you say, it's a lot of shit that crosses culture and people use as normal slang. Like you say, you don't know where they come from. All you know is your friends, your family, you hear it, you use it.
Yeah, I think there's to be a distinction between cultural things that aren't meant to be shared and things that are.
Right.
Music, art, those are things that typically are meant to be shared. But something like if it's something like, we paint our faces as a ritual for when we get married, and that's something we've always done within our blah blah blah, I can understand something like that being like, hey, I saw a white wedding and they painted their fucking faces and shit like it was an Indian wedding, and it'd be like,
problem.
Right, and you'd be like, hey, what the fuck is this shit, dog? Like, we do that.
And
you know,
history
this,
behind that, and right. Da, 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 right.
But when it's something like a song or instrument, I just don't think you're gonna be able to keep that in house anyway. And I think it's also kind of does a disservice to the artist, because you're also saying that if too many white people like your music, that's somehow wrong. If fucking, like, there's a limit on black art, apparently. Like, only black people for black people by black people. If that's the artist's intention, okay. But if not, then I'm not going to step in and say that. Anyway, a while ago, Ijeoma Ulu, the black woman interviewed Rachel Dolezal, Kyle wrote this, wrote a great article about cultural appropriation. And then she wrote, the system is its own means and ends. It will do little to simply remove one of the players from its place on the ladder. The system has reserves to put in its place. To change the hierarchy, we must take a sledgehammer to the pillars that make the system itself. Basically what you guys said on the podcast, systemic racism makes cultural appropriation possible, and not Bruno, and definitely not black people. In a better world without racism, Bruno would just be a guy influenced by black music. Unfortunately, we do live in a world with racism, and blaming black people isn't going to make it go away. I wish black people would stop saying shit like, y'all let so-and-so into the culture and look what happened. We don't have that much control or power. With that being said, people's response to that lady was over the top. Yeah, that's the other reason. Like, I didn't even want to add to her burden, and I didn't even engage with her, because one, it's just her opinion. She's allowed an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I really think the main thing that made it so inflammatory was the y'all and all that shit. But in general, I don't really have a problem with her opinion. I get it. Like, we don't, you know, and also, like I said, at the end of the day, I just don't think it's a black problem to solve. So fussing at black people, you're not going to convince all black people to not like that dude.
Mm-mm.
You're just not going to. And he seems to be a nice dude. He seems to be making good music. People seem to be enjoying it. To then be like, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves, kind of, you know, without those exact words, but you're just going to make people mad. And, you know, but she could handle it. I mean, she was, like I said, she's been, tweeting since then, and I'm sure she's still getting people in her mention days later trying to come for her. So,
of course,
I definitely like, maybe it's that empathy overload thing, but I definitely relate to the idea of being like, I said something and y'all don't have to agree, but goddamn, you know what I mean? Like, y'all coming at me super hard, and that was the main thing I saw from some of her responses. I was like, I don't know if that response would have been so inflammatory if motherfuckers weren't calling her out her name and shit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 1472 racism overload. We had some comments on this one. Social media says, they set that professor up. You could hear in the tone of Tucker Carlson's voice, he did not care about her answers. He wanted to trap her into saying something that could be distorted and used against her. One of the oldest tricks in the book. Yep. Anonymous says, random share, I'm currently in an LA coffee shop that is playing all white acoustic covers of black music on the stereo. Well, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I just heard a white dude belt out Kanye's ultralight beam. Seriously, I wanted to scream. Satire is real life now, and I'm shook. Rod, you tried to prepare us for this, but we ain't ready. I tried. I tried. Y'all just fight and fuss against me, but y'all gonna be out somewhere in here, acoustic covers of R. Kelly song, you gonna be able to be like, oh, okay, I was ready for this. Dim says, Rod and Karen, this episode touched me.
Oh.
When y'all were discussing having people in your corner who really believe in you and give you guidance, I almost shouted in my work area. I haven't had the time to leave replies and comments like I need to, but I had to thank you for your conversation. Love y'all.
Oh, thank you, Dean.
Falcons Diva says, yes, this episode was a lot. If I was home, I would have had to watch a few episodes of Golden Girl after to get my mind right. Yeah, racism overload was a lot that day.
Mm-hmm.
Really Dark Knight says, about that professor that went on Fox News, did she say anything that wasn't true? No, but I will never understand any black person wanting to go on and debate anything on Fox News. We all know what it is. Well, that is true. Like, I real talk, I hate to blame the victim, because I really don't think she should have got fired, but also nothing good comes of a black person going on Fox News. Unless you some type of coon, it ain't gonna go well for you.
Mm-hmm.
They just gonna talk over you and act stupid and troll your mentions on Twitter and all that shit.
Come on.
Should that professor have been fired for her comments? No, she wasn't out of line, or yes, she went too far. Only one person thought she went too far. 97% of y'all got some goddamn sense. All right, and lastly, it was 1473 Quick and Dirty, the one where we only had like an hour and some change to record an episode. We talked about a bunch of stuff. We had three comments. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, I love the title Quick and Dirty, need that on the shirt. 5 stars. Clarence says, damn, I love the show art that's being put on the front of these episodes. Can't wait to see what you have next in line. Well, right now, those are the only two contributions, except for we also have one for the premium that I'll put that on this one or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like the Coming to America theme, which was beautiful. And then of course we had the first joint from Simeon, which was dope as well. Like, and like I said, I want to hit them back and see if we can, like, you know, use those, because they're so good. Yeah, Tabitha is the person that designed this logo that you saw on episode 1473.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put the premium one on this one, but yeah, man, it just we got some real talented fans.
And all the aside, we just need to download. There's a lot more people out there. I don't know if they scared or what, but you know, you send them in, y'all, we'll look at them.
All right, so Casey says, the cover art is everything. Cassie says, all right, we appreciate that. And the poll was, would you help a lost child if you knew it would mean you were going to get beaten up? Nope, I'm good, or yes. 42% said yes, and 58% said nope, I'm good.
Oh, they good, huh?
They don't want to take their ass whooping for helping that baby. I don't know, man, that's a tough one. Like,
yeah,
maybe if I knew the kid would be okay, maybe.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because you're talking about like a little small child, and the thing is, it's like you just never know who you're dealing with, and it's one of those things where for me, I'd have been okay. I probably would have did what that person did at first, and then when I seen them cutting the food, I'd be like, oh, you know what, I do want to press charges. That would have been me. I'd have been willing to take that chance. Then when I seen y'all cutting a fucking fool across social media, like, in my mind, this person didn't show anything that would even make you think. And there was other people all going around saying that they was asking other people, because if this person was a predator, they would have ran off with your child. You'd have been crying on news. You'd have never seen your baby again. They went out of their way to help for the protection of that child, and y'all was still like, nah, they the problem. And so it will make people say, well, fuck it, I won't help. I'll just see a child wandering around and walk straight past it like it don't matter, because I don't want to deal with the consequences of a crazy ass family.
Yep. I don't think I
I personally would not have the heart. I know me. I would, and that's why I say I would be the first person to die in the, because I don't want to have the heart to just walk past people like that. I personally can't do it. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, like, do you hang around, call the police? Hey, I got a child here. Even if you can tell them you dial 911, people like that wouldn't even care. They wouldn't care who the fuck you call. You're still the problem because you have that child. So it's just one of the things where, hey, it's a baby out here, and hang up and move. And then I would feel bad if I read the news or seen something about that, something happened to that child, and I know that I could have done something to protect that child. But that's just how I function. I wouldn't have the heart to just keep walking past.
Yeah, I think I would just have to get beat up, man.
That'd be like, an ass whooping I would have to take that day.
I just can't see myself being like, fuck that little kid.
Right.
But yeah. Sad, really. I had to take that ass open. But yeah, I mean, at least that's the way I would want to be. I would want to be like, oh, they gonna whoop people's ass, fuck that. I mean, you wouldn't know until they happen, but that's, I'm just saying, even if I knew the future, I'd be like, it's more important this kid gets to their family, because ain't nobody around that cares. So all right, let's go. We got a couple voicemails, and I, like I said, I have no idea how long these are, any of that shit, because
okay, we'll see.
Voicemail be tripping lately. Okay, that's clearly a butt dial.
Yeah, somebody butt called.
All right, let's see. All right, we got two of them. I feel like someone wrote me and said not to play their voicemail. Let me see if this one worked.
Hello, Rod. I hope this is Rod and Karen. Hello, Rod. Hello, Karen.
It is.
Who answered the phone? Who that?
The white man.
No. This is Rue, a.k.a. on Twitter, Kinky Hot Girl. Just checking in with you guys, saying I love the BET recap. I'm just now listening. I've been away for a bit, but I've missed you all. And, you know, I checked in. Wanted to hear what you had to say after seeing the lovely cover art for this episode concerning a drawn loose cigarette in Ralph Tresvant's mouth. Yeah, I saw it. And we here in the new edition for life delegation, we don't appreciate your Ralph Tresvant slander. That is slander. He looked the same way he looked back in January. When all that other stuff happened, he looked the same. But did he miss a note? Did he miss a note or a footstep when he did it? No, he didn't. Don't do it, Rod.
Oh, she got cut off. That's
right. You made the delegation mad.
She really did say don't do it, and then got cut off like Trey Songz.
That would, we, I don't know what happened, baby. That wouldn't know if the white man did that. We don't have control of the voicemails.
Yeah, listen.
We made the delegation mad.
Listen, I know what you're trying to say, but it's not gonna work. Okay? He gonna get this, he gonna get these jokes. Nigga showed up looking like Eddie Kane. It just is what it is. I mean, you can't possibly want us to, you know, you can't possibly want us to act like that was all good. We are truth tellers on this show. The lie's not in us, okay? And you need to be strong.
All right, we said some things maybe we didn't mean. Hello, this is Rue, a.k.a. Kinky Hot Curl on Twitter. I just wanted to say, I don't know what's up with the... Oh, yeah, I know. I think I know what's the phone. I just wanted to say that was my fake outrage, of course, for the new edition. I'm just going to say I've been getting my auntie-adjacent life since January and all my life, and I just wanted to say they did a great job. I reckon, we're talking about New Edition, I just reckon all the actors and everybody is like, man, we gotta act, but New Edition want us to keep singing.
She got cut off again. I don't know why it's cutting you off, boo. Your phone might have just got disconnected. I don't know. But yeah, we appreciate the calls, and the New Edition Hive is alive and well, we see. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that too. Next voicemail. Oh, okay, cool. Butt down.
Alright,
listen, we are very popular with butts these days.
Apparently so.
People booties who just can't wait to
All that means they got big delicious booties that be pressing phones. That's how I look at it. Shout out to the booty butt dialing.
Mm-hmm. Even without the
I'm not mad.
Phones don't even got buttons no more. Y'all butt dialing us somehow.
Girl, you can't get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty hole.
It's a booty hole,
right?
Is what we're trying to say, people. Let me see if we got any more of these, because I think we had one more voicemail, and of course Skype is moving slow now. Okay, well, take your time. It's a booty hole. But yeah, all right, we got this one. Let me see if this plays.
Good morning, Rod and Karen. Sitting here at work listening to you all's recap of the BET Awards, and just wanted to say I felt like I was at the awards, even though I didn't watch them. I was on a date. But anyway, I'll keep up the good work. Love you all. And, oh, yeah, Papa Morrow is everything. I almost didn't go to church Sunday because you three, y'all were lit. But I did go to church, and I missed, like, the last hour of the show. But keep doing what you're doing. 5 stars. Love you. And this is, who am I? I forgot who I am. But anyway, calling from Texas. Love y'all. Bye.
That must have been D. Ramsey, PhD, but yeah, thank you for calling in, and glad you enjoyed the show.
Me too.
And still got your Jesus on, you know, or whatever denomination you went to. I don't know what religion you are, but you know, still got your church in, so that you could like wash away all the sins of laughing with us that morning. Okay, that's everybody. Let me close out this Skype, because we have some voicemails to get to as well.
I'm about to say some more voicemails?
No, Karen. You know I did not mean to say that. I meant some emails. Damn shame. What's going on around here these days? White people news. This is from Joshua, who says, hey, Rod and Karen. Haven't written you folks in a long while. Congratulations on NegroCon. I wish I was there, and I'm going to try and make the next one. But I know it won't be the same. Well, you know what, man? It'll be different, but it'll be your turn, you know? Who wants to do the same thing every time, right?
Correct.
Who knows what'll happen at the next one. We might finally get the DC orgy popping off. You know? I'm working on some things in the background. We're going to see if we can maybe get some hotels involved, get us a conference room for the orgy, something like that, maybe a suite. And it's gonna go down, y'all. It's gonna be very no condoms, of course. Condoms are for people that want a safety net, but we believe in ourselves, am I right? Blackout Tips Nation, right? We all recognize nobody out there is okay.
I mean, I watch, I'm not participating.
Y'all could be some losers if y'all want, but for me and all the people that believe in ourselves, we will be going condom free, okay? Because black people are people of the sun, and our melanin naturally rejects disease, which is why you hang around a white person long enough.
You got some lotion over there?
Oh, damn. What? Yeah, I did. I took a shower for the shower. I forgot to put some lotion on when I got in.
I was about to say, this don't sound right. How do we get here?
Oh, I was just about to say, I'll be giving white people cancer. I don't know what was wrong. Ooh, shout out to Gold Bar Ultimate Healing Lotion. The skin therapy lotion. Just keeping me hydrated one squirt at a time. I know it won't be the same. The reason the title of this email is White People News is just because I was in a bar and I just so happened to present this to be present for this gym, and I thought of you, Rod. I wish I would have saw this before you had Bossy on, because I know she fans out for this artist. Laugh my ass off. I didn't catch the beginning in time, but I caught the end. Hope you can use this on the show. Other than that, love you guys. Have a good one. All right, let me see if I can play this video. It's in the email. So I'll see if I can play it, and I don't know how long it is. I'll see if I can put it on screen for y'all. All right, cool. All right, here we go. I'll just show on the screen in a couple seconds.
No problem.
I'm just taking time. Black ass piece of shit computer.
Lounging on the couch and doing it myself. Turn an MTV so they can teach me how to duck. See my guest girl, I'm freaking. Notice I said I'm not ready, ready, cause I can't. Today I don't feel like doing it. I just want to let my
what song is it? I don't even know what song this is. Mm-hmm. Is this some Bruno Mars shit? What is Jason Derulo, maybe? I don't
know. P90X.
Y'all recognize this song? What song is this? This is horrible.
Whistling and everything.
Jesus.
Got the acoustic guitar.
Yeah,
they meet all the standards.
I don't even know if I don't even know that he's white. He might be black. Okay, yeah, like I told y'all before, I'm not a huge Bruno Mars fan. Sorry to disappoint, but yeah. So anyway, but thanks, Josh, for ruining the show.
Ah!
That was a good one. Chi-Chi writes in, BET Awards and appreciation, 3 hearts. Dearest Karen and Rod, I simply have to say how absolutely grateful I am for your podcast. I recently started a new job, which requires an extensive amount of time on my laptop, fielding emails, putting out fires, and in general being creative on behalf of others. In short, I'm stressed. Nevertheless, I had you both by my side, especially Karen, during my first week, and I was at complete ease.
Oh,
Rod, I've got to give you some massive props. I have to admit that I was one of those individuals who was a bit snobby, okay, really snobby, about the BET Awards. Not that I disparaged them online, but I always thought if they were this good, they'd be at the Grammys, right? Wrong, bitch, wrong. See Solange, Sly the Family Stone, Beyonce, Prince, Aunt Mary, Snoop, Kendrick, and even Kanye. The only arbiters of black culture we should be listening to are, number one, black people. Number two, people of color who respect the diversity individuality of the black experience. Number three, alias. Number four, white people who respect the culture. Number five, white people en masse. For the past 2 years, you have opened my eyes to the beauty of black people celebrating black people. It is increasingly hard to find joy in blackness these days. Not that it doesn't exist, but with 45 in office, we are living in perilous times. You said a word right there. I love you guys truly. Y'all are cool, my cooler older cousins who write me when I'm wrong and let me sneak a glass of cranberry vodka when my mom isn't looking. All the support and love in the world. Chi-Chi from Cleveland. P.S. Miss Karen, you are looking so slim thick these days. Yes, mama.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah, you absolutely right, man. That and I'm like, real talk, it's only a couple type of people I can't really fuck with, but people that can't never admit when they wrong, because I admit when I'm wrong, and I don't take no pride in being like, I'm right. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. Like, I don't take any pride in that shit. Sometimes even when I'm right, technically, if I feel wrong, I feel it's wrong.
Right.
Cause I know it's wrong with my energy and the way my spirit aligns. But,
right.
All that shit to say, it's dope that people come around on stuff like that. Cause I feel like a lot of that stuff, I was talking to somebody last night. I won't reveal their name because I don't want to bring no problems their way. But they was talking about Beyonce and how they really think she is fake and all this shit. And I was like, I don't think she's fake. As far as I think she's very guarded, and I think she's very guarded and protective of her privacy and shit like that, because she wants to present a certain image to people, and she really don't want people to know her business, and y'all never will, and we never will. Like, it just ain't like, if you a fan of Beyonce, you recognize that you, like, she's still just a little girl from Houston and everything, but she also is not telling you her most intimate moments and secrets. You gotta find out through other people. And you look at the way that they invade people's privacy in the name of fame anyway. She's so far ahead of the curve compared to so many people that basically got drugged through the mud on every little thing. Like, she's found a way with the biggest focal lens on her at all times to kind of navigate this world and survive, even with scandals and all this shit. And we know they be wanting to tear her down, because look at her now, like, especially with all this pro-black shit, you know they want to tear her down. Kaepernick can't find a job, but, you know, people act like Beyonce is opportunistic and hopping on this black woke wave and shit. And I'm like, or let's present the alternative possibility. Much like the rest of most black people, especially if you're not in academia and shit, most motherfuckers, quote unquote, got woke when Trayvon Martin died.
Come on.
Most people didn't start really feeling that way when President Obama got elected. Had people kind of come back into some racial awareness and some very strong pro-black militant leanings that really had been quiet. It had not picked up a cause. It had not picked up in the streets. You didn't see all these marches. You didn't see all these organizations forming. You didn't see all this organizing and having people come out to support the organizing. That shit is fairly new. I remember when joking on Maya Angelou wasn't a big deal. Like, I remember when Living Color had David Alan Greer recurring sketch about, hey, isn't it funny, this old black woman and her poems, ha ha ha. Like, we would, that was, that shit went past for now, you know what I mean? So it's like, a lot of this shit is fairly new to everybody,
right?
And you know, we get off on kind of judging people who are behind and judging people who are ahead and all this shit, but in general, a lot of this shit is new. She may just be in that wave too, you know. I don't think it's just necessary, because I don't think there's any real boost to be made for a person as a pop star globally to come out and be like, also I support black people exclusively, Black Lives Matter, and all this shit. That there's actually a detriment to her dollar, not an increase,
right?
So we can't sit up here and make this argument like, you know, somehow she's just out here riding this wave. Well, if she was really riding the wave, she'd be out here like, I'm staying out of it. I have nothing to say. If anything, all lives matter to me. Please come buy my albums. White people, don't cancel me. That's what the fuck people don't, that's what, to me, what people do. And when you hear the stories behind the scenes, because the other reason she's close and guarded is because her motherfucking, listen, I respect this woman so much. Her motherfucking product, it's, I swear to God, her and Jay-Z must write albums in the future, time travel back to the present, and put the shit out. Did y'all niggas hear anything leak about this goddamn Jay-Z album? It's like 3 days, maybe 2 or 3 weeks out, and he started promoting, like, I got an album coming out. Everybody's like, what? The album got people on it. Like, it ain't just him. It's motherfucking, like, Frank Ocean on this bitch and shit. Who knew they was working on anything? Just album come out. Bam. You know what I mean? Like, same thing with her. Like, they're protective, but it's for their brand and it works. So I don't have a problem with her. But all that shit to say that, I think, you know, you have to be, people are being protective and shit like that, because they have to be. And because that's what people find, and people are finding their joy in this, you know, in these people that are actually entertaining us and all that shit. So anyway, it just feels like there's always this burden on the black shit, but like, that's the best shit, you know what I mean? BET Awards is dope because it is for us, you know. I'm tired of watching these fucking award shows and feeling sad because white people chose some other shit,
right? And seeing the whole timeline cry, like, and I try to be funny, like, I feel the pain when I see these award shows and everybody's joyful, and all of a sudden when shit comes up, you see a lot of anger and a lot of sadness and a lot of hurt. because you feel like these people that are excellent are not being awarded for their thing. It's a vicious cycle, in my opinion. So I tapped out. I was like, you know what? I gotta tap out. For my own sanity, I cannot watch this.
Yeah, they're not the average, they are not the people who get to take, what is good for us. Too much of my life has been spent with me being like, oh, that's a classic album, that's a classic moment in my life, and then having to worry about whether or not some fucking white people felt the same. I don't give a fuck what they think. Oh, also, just as a heads up, for this 444 album, I'm not reading any white people's reviews. I'm not having no discussions with white people about what this shit means. This is a black album for black people, specifically for a lot of black men that need to like fucking grow the fuck up, and hopefully this will make it quote unquote cool for niggas to do some very basic shit like not cheat on their wife, take care of their kids and shit like that. I hope it does. I don't have any negative things to say about folks with this. I think people get a little too they turn these things into like very personal discussions.
Right.
I just think in general with this, it's a dope album, but it's a black ass album about black men and what we think and what we believe and how some of that shit is fucked up and niggas need to grow the fuck up. And I don't think it's like this avant-garde, like, oh my god, he really, but listen, the things he really talked about, while that may be shit that, you know, other artists or women have talked about before, we haven't really seen a black rapper, a grown ass black rapper, talk about therapy, talk about you know, infidelity, making his wife miscarry, in his you know, taking that on himself, reckoning with his culpability in the destruction of his own life, and then being like, and also, I don't deserve your forgiveness, even though you did. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people in that boat dealing with that kind of shit, but there's also a lot of people that it should be a cautionary tale, because a lot of people out here that's treating somebody bad or planning to treat somebody bad right now, that you know, that hopefully they can get on the right path. But yeah, at some point we got to make, for lack of a better term, we got to make growing up cool. You know, Jay-Z is just one of those people that been able to pull that off. We'll see how people receive this album. It'll take a long time to really know, but and the influence it has on other art. But in general, we been needed somebody to be like, okay, so it's time to grow up. You know what I mean? We been needed somebody to do that, because too much of it is kind of like, nah, that's just the way things are. And it's like, well, wouldn't it be cool if we changed the way things are to the way things should be, rather than just relax all the standards and act like it's okay to just not treat your woman like shit and dog your family out and all that shit. Anyway, I know it's very basic fundamental shit, but let me just reiterate, Jay-Z is a nigga from Brooklyn that was born in Marcy Projects. Beyonce is a woman from little girl from Houston. I don't even know if these motherfuckers even got to go to college. It's their story is amazing, whether or not they fit into the perfect blackademic version of feminism or intersectionality or whatever. Like, their story is still amazing to get this far and influence this many people in the talk to let us witness this much of their mental journey about the way that they are and self-exploration.
Right. Because the thing is, I know Jay-Z was a little older, but particularly for Beyonce, a lot of people fail to realize most people have literally watched Beyonce grow into a grown woman before their eyes. A lot of people take that shit for granted and they won't scrutinize and criticize everything about her. But most of y'all motherfuckers, if people went back and tracked your life from the stupid, right, and dumb and ignorant and homophobic and transphobic, right, and just dumb and ignorant shit that you did,
held shit against you from when you were like 16, 18 and
forever,
shit,
and act like you can't grow, you can't evolve, you can't change. Nothing you do in your life is real. Every choice you make can't be a personal choice because you want to grow up. Everything you make got to be for the limelight. You can't make choices in your life like everybody fucking else does. And if it's positive, it's positive. If it's negative, it's negative. Nope. Every move you make is strategic. Not that, and it's like, you want to strip humanity. Most people's lives were not recorded. So it was real easy for us to point fingers and judge people when we are not under the same spotlight and never will be under the same spotlight. And most people couldn't take a fraction of a hair of the criticism that she makes. The first time somebody says something about you, or you, then they got, you think, assume they say something about you, you the first person to block and get mad and get angry and run away and not deal with it. But yet they have to deal with this shit every day and keep coming out in the public and keep performing and keep doing the things that they do. They're made out of something special that the average person is not.
Yeah, I just see, you know, a lot of people, I saw people like going in on Beyonce because she stayed with Jay-Z and shit, and like, I mean, it's just weird because it's like they're letting you into their personal lives, and of course you can judge anything people put out in the public, but also people are being so, I don't know, it's like they don't appreciate the art of it and to a certain level. And this, and also the thing that is making me realize is just how much injury men and women in our community, in the Black community, how much, I mean, we've talked about it before, but how much injury we put to each other, to where the first thing you think is about the nigga that cheated on you, or the woman you cheated on, or you get mad because women are going, like, Jay-Z's album is basically, I was trash, my wife still stuck with me because I changed and worked on myself and admitted my flaws and faced my failures to be a better man and a better husband and a better father to my kids and all that shit. And I'm so blessed and fortunate to be where I'm at right now. That's what he's saying. And men are like, just the album, niggas need to hear, da 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 da. But then when women go, yeah, this nigga wasn't shit and she stuck around and he's lucky as fuck. And then they go, shut up, bitch, we trying to talk, you know. It's like there's so much hurt. It's just a bunch of people talking through hurt, and it's just sad to see. But I really enjoy the album, and I think it's groundbreaking work in this genre. But I think it's gonna take a long time before people can really talk about it without turning into a fight with the other gender.
Yeah, and also I think too is that they're human beings just like everybody else. You're judging and criticizing them, but your Aunt Sarah is still with your Uncle Paul. They've been together for years. It's openly that he has maybe children outside of the marriage. It's openly that he had these affairs. People act like this shit ain't in their families. Like, some of them are products of affairs. So, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, y'all judging and criticizing and putting, you know, you're projecting your hurt and pain, but it's real. And I think when people get too real with albums, when it comes for some people, they just respond very negatively to it.
Because, well, also it makes them think about them.
Right.
Like, I see most people, when I see them talking, I just be like, oh, that's okay, that happened. Something happened to you.
To you personally, right.
Like, some nigga dogged you out and you never got your apology, or you got tired of waiting on him to grow up, so you want to, like, double enforce your decision and be like, I made the right decision to move on. And you didn't make the wrong decision to move on. Like, no, this album doesn't mean that. For you, like, right. It's fine. Your life and this album ain't the same, but it feel like a lot of fighting is happening over this shit. We have to go to the next segment. Hold on, we're coming right back. And okay. Go ahead, finish your thought. We'll be right back on the air anyway.
Okay, and also it's my thing too, is that what I realized is that for some reason, more of women want closure. Sometimes you ain't gonna get that closure from that nigga. And the decision you made was the right decision, and it's all right, and it's okay. I think sometimes people hear this shit and they think, reflect on their lives personally, and it makes them question their decisions or make them think that they made the wrong decisions. But no, sweetie. Whatever decision you make fits you, and it's okay, and it's all right. But like you said, when you looked up and down the timelines on Facebook or Twitter, whatever social media platform you on, you could see a lot of hurt and you could see a lot of pain from past injuries.
Yeah, it's the horrible, what I saw women really responding to, in my opinion, the ones who were like kind of being very critical of Jay-Z and this album and men, it's the horrible unfairness of the double standard that men benefit from, which is, he says, my wife was more mature than me, despite the fact that they got married when she was like 21 and he was 30 something. But that's the unfairness of society. Like, that's the double standard. Like, a man gets to be immature and be fucking 45. Like, Jay-Z puts out this album at 50 something and we go, oh, he grew up. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get to be that for women. Like,
No.
Women don't get to not be mature for yeah, he's 47. So little girls and shit like that, they don't get to not be, they're quote unquote seen as more mature, but they're seen as more mature because society forces them into a very rigid box where they don't get to do all the shit that boys get to do. They don't get to make the same mistakes that boys get to make.
They don't get to fuck up.
They don't, right. So they have to deal with, we call it maturity, but it's just a box. It's just, you know, you shouldn't be out here having sex. Boys can do that. You shouldn't be out here fighting. Boys can do that. You shouldn't be out here dressing a different way. Boys can do, you know, like, so we just treat women differently and we call it maturity. And I understand the points people are making around it, and they're making some very good academic points and all that shit. But at the same time, I don't think, I don't necessarily think that, I appreciate the growth of any person whenever they grow. Like, it might be too late for some people. Maybe people might have cut them off and shit, but you never stop growing, or you should never stop growing until you die.
Right. And then it's also one of those things where what people fail to realize, relationships, people come in and out of your life for a reason. So the thing is, yeah, you were hurt by someone, but it was a lesson learned. And a lot of times, in order for you to truly understand what love is, you got to understand what it's like not to be loved. And a lot of times people get so wrapped up in their hurt and pain that they don't understand that a lot of times love can be looking you in your face, but you're so busy looking at your internal hurt and pain that you don't realize there's somebody around you that actually unconditionally loved you, but you're so busy looking inside. And I think for a lot of people, that's where they got this lash, and they're constantly lashing out and constantly angry and in turmoil, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the conversation I'm seeing is like a lot of people that were hurt from some other shit.
Right.
And it's just, this is another app. This is, and this is with a lot of shit on social media, especially, you know, I only follow really black people. This was another opportunity to be black men versus black women for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more important than anything else. I looked at it like, oh, cool, this dude's growing up. He's 47. But fuck it, you learn when you learn. What am I gonna say? There's shit that I feel embarrassed about, being like, god damn. But you know, the other thing is this too, matter of fact, now I'm thinking about it, because I really wasn't gonna talk about this album today, but the other part of it that maybe it's advice for other people, but it's also advice for myself. You can't let people make you feel stuck in your mistakes,
right?
Like, yeah, you fucked up, everybody fucks up. And you might feel very remorseful and regretful of it. But by the time you're ready to talk about it and stuff, and you've dealt with that, because that's basically what all this music is. Solange beat this nigga's ass in the elevator, and we now getting art from it because they've all dealt with it, you know? But the point being, by the time that you've dealt with it and you're ready to talk about it and whatnot, other people are going to try to trap you there. And be like, well, you wasn't shit then. Okay, I wasn't. We're both saying the same thing. But what I am saying is that I learned from that and I moved on. Just like every other human being on this earth is supposed to do. So don't let people keep you stuck, because they want you stuck in a certain place so they can stay feeling the same way about you forever.
Right.
So they see you stuck in that box. They gonna keep you in that box. Regardless of the fact that you've moved on with your life and done better, they will forever hold the one thing you did against you. I think in the internet age, it's even easier because you got receipts and screenshots and Wikipedia and shit. But the truth of the matter is, people are going to continue to evolve whether people don't want you to or not.
Right.
And you have to move on, you know, from time to, like, just, cause I've seen people that, like, they're more focused on, like, but this nigga wasn't shit. And it's like, okay, but apparently it worked out in their relationship and now they're happy. What do you want to happen now?
Right. There's nothing else to happen. And,
you know what I mean? And also, it's like they feel like people didn't pay a cost. Apparently, through all the stuff they're talking about, they did pay a cost. They paid a cost to keep their marriage together, whether it was therapy that they talked about, whether it was, you know, coming up with these new rules, refocusing, rededicating on your family and all that shit. There was a cost paid emotionally, for that, that toll was paid to keep that family together. I don't know, like, I don't, it's not for me to say whether or not it's good for them. If they think it's good, then it's good. I don't, like, it's, that's it, you know, like, we don't get to tell other people's relationship what they can do or not do. But that, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, people are almost mad at them for working it out and telling the world, like, we went through this. But I kind of think, like, well, it's actually a little bit healthy to see something that happens very commonly in a lot of this shit.
Right.
A lot of people's marriages make it through infidelity and all this shit. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow we shame people for making mistakes. We shame people for staying together after a mistake is made. We like break your family up, do this, do that. And it's like, that's not a realistic thing that everybody aspires to. Some people look at that, the vows of till death do you part, and they take that shit more seriously. You know, so maybe they just decide to work it out, but it's weird for us to be mad at them for working it out. It's not like they said, and now this is a lesson for everybody. You go out and do it. Like, none of the albums, none of the music, and none of the interviews have them be like, and that's what all y'all need to do too. All of them are just like, this is a thing I went through. It was very personal to us, and this is, and we decided to talk about it because we're artists.
That, and also, by the time somebody present something to you, especially something like this, they've already dealt with it, they've worked through it, a lot of the shock. I think for a lot of people, this is the quote-unquote first time that they've actually accepted the reality that he did this shit. Because I remember when the Beyonce album dropped, a lot of people was like, I don't believe he did nothing,
right?
You know, like, I'm just keeping it real, like, Beyonce dropped hints all through the album. And I was like, yeah, I believe him. And a lot of people, nah, he couldn't do that. I think it's some shit she made up. They just putting on a performance. Yeah. Okay, Jay-Z album come out. He's like, yeah, I did that shit. And now the reality for the first time is get real to people. Cause for the first time, you're going through the emotional roller coaster that they've already been through. So, you know, a lot of people think the first time that they hear it, that the people who have been through the situation is supposed to go live that emotional roller coaster again. But no, baby, you deal with the have emotionally, you have to deal with it. We've dealt with it, we moved on, we just presented it to you.
Well, also, you know, like you said, they, like, there's a lot of people that they, like, it's like they need these celebrities to do the things that they would do in their lives. You're like, and maybe you would leave your nigga immediately if some shit popped off. I don't know. Maybe you have stayed with a nigga. Maybe your parents couldn't make it. I don't know. But this, you know, like, they're artists and they're putting out art. And I do think the reason that, and I said it at the time, but I reemphasize it now, I think a lot of the reason that people don't want to believe it's true is because they want to imagine Beyonce and Jay-Z having a perfect marriage with no problems.
Right.
And there's a shame and a stigma attached to the idea of being cheated on, like it's some, like it's your fault. And all this shit. A lot of
women, because society makes you feel like it's your fault.
Right. And I saw that it was mostly women that I saw being like, no, they couldn't have been that. She fooled y'all. They got y'all. They happy. And it's like, or it's the truth, but there's a lot of happy marriages that made it through shit like this. You have to fight for that happiness. It's not a storybook wedding. It's not perfect. It's ugly. It's why I tell people, you know, like, stay out of folks' relationship business, because you don't really want to know the underside of any. If you have a nice vision of people from the outside, you don't want to know the sticky parts of the shit that makes their relationship work.
Right.
You don't, like, nobody, it's not up to anybody to know that shit. But yeah, they put this out here for people to kind of know what they went through, something that every tabloid speculated about, all these people on Twitter speculated about, everybody saw the salon footage, and it was all kinds of like, uh-oh, and they came out, and they were like, this is what happened, and people still mad, you know, it's like, what can you do, you know, so, yeah, I just feel like people really want to, I don't know, people just really want to, fairy tale marriage, 2.3 kids and shit like that. And it's like, look, man, it's different ways to get to your goals, and this is theirs,
right?
You know, who knows, 2 years from now maybe they do get divorced, I don't know. But the point being, this is their story as up to now, and this is what they felt comfortable telling the world. And it's just sad to see so much fighting, because I'm same thing with Lemonade. I'm just always reminded of how much hurt there is on both sides of the equation,
right?
When it comes to the gender and mostly the heterosexual black people, but also, you know, LGBTQ people as well, that have been affected by the way we treat each other, the way society treats us, and the way that we are so callous towards each other. And it's like, when shit like this happens, I look forward to hearing the album, I look forward to the event, but I feel trepidation when these events happen, because I'm like, and now I gotta watch people I love and respect fight with each other all goddamn day because you have a penis and she has a vagina,
right?
Or you know, like, or you've had an experience in the world where you've been treated this way and they've been treated that way, and people get defensive and all that kind of shit. But I just love the art, man. I guess good art brings that out in people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get back to these emails. Jay Full says, what up, Ryder? Karen, regarding the anger people have for Whitney and Carrie Fisher, I kind of get it, but I also kind of don't. I lost my mother a few months ago, and right before she died, she was evicted from her assisted living home for having drug paraphernalia in her apartment. While going through her things after her death, I found old pictures of her, and it made me a little angry. She was so beautiful. I'd always heard people talk about how beautiful she was ever since I met her at age of seven. I first met her at the age of seven. She looked haggard and beaten down as crack is wont to make people do look. During her wake/funeral, hearing her brothers and sisters talk about her life before I was born, her life before she started using drugs, made me sad and angry. Sure, academically, I understand addiction is a disease, but hearing how she threw her life away and continued to do so for 32 plus years really hurt. Especially in that moment. But this is somebody I had a biological bond with, somebody who chose drugs over her son for 32 years. Naturally, I'm exponentially much closer to that life than I would be with Whitney or Carrie. All that being said, I can understand the disappointment people have, but considering they don't know these celebrities in real life, I don't understand how they're able to take their disappointment to these vitriolic levels they do. Woo, that was a lot, but it felt good to get out. J Full, P.S. My nickname for the Nigga Museum is the Black Sonia. Yeah, we had a lot of Blacksonian references up there. I like Nigga Museum personally, but I understand Blacksonian is also good, and it don't offend as many people as Nigga Museum. Yeah, man, the only thing I would say is, like, that's your mom and that's your personal relationship, and you're probably angry at the relationship y'all never got to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally fucking different than strangers on the internet talking about Whitney Houston and her talent and her money and shit like that. Cause a lot of that is jealousy for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I had that money and I had that talent, I wouldn't be doing no drugs. I do differently and all this shit. So I would look at it like that. I don't know enough about, your relationship with you and your mom to tell you what to do or what to think, about that shit, to be honest. But, you know, that might be anger you have forever, dog. You know, it's unfortunate, but I mean, like you said, academically you can wrap your head around it, but emotionally it's scarring, even knowing that it is a disease. Addiction is a disease. It's, you know, like, that shit ravages people. You know, at some point it's not even really about making a choice over the life that you could have had and shit. It's just, this is what I need to be able to feel just okay. Like, that's how fucked up drugs are. And yeah, I'm sorry that happened, man. Rest in peace to your mom, but mm-hmm. I'm sure she's not suffering anymore. And I'm sure that you know, maybe that can bring some closure to you, you know. And I'm glad you're talking about it, and I hope you're getting that out, you know. Maybe have therapy or something if you got that going, that's good. But yeah, I think what you're talking about is not close to what these motherfuckers that are like, mm-mm. Carrie Fisher was on drugs, like, those people, they don't give a fuck, you know. But yeah, and then also the other reason I don't fuck with people that do that shit is because some other people's lives been affected by addiction, dog. Like, I might have people in my family that had affect that that fought and that battle and fight that battle every day.
Come on.
And if God forbid something happened and they do end up in, you know, fucking you know, rehab or overdose or something like that, like, I'm not gonna be the kind of person that's like, you know, fuck you for that. Like, that's a mistake. It happens to people, fall off the, people do shit. It's a fight that they have that a lot of us can't really relate to because we don't have that same fight.
Right.
So I won't be judging them.
It's a struggle, and everybody has their struggles, different variations of struggles, but everybody has their struggles. And a lot of times I think when it comes to drugs and alcohol or people that are addicted to sex, because it's something that you can physically see and point your fingers at and judge openly and publicly, people have a tendency to be very harsh about those things, versus a lot of people have addictions and suffer with shit in silence that don't nobody know about.
Lakita says, hey Rod and Karen, can I start with saying congrats on NegaCon 2017? I watched the video and it was so family. Karen was beaming with joy. Rod looked like he was in his element, and contrary to what Justin thinks, he wasn't awkward at all, and he did great. I hope that NegroCon continues to grow and flourish. Now, appropriation. I very much agree with Rod. I get so confused about what should and shouldn't be considered appropriation. I usually just stay out of the argument. Take Eminem. I don't see it as appropriation. He grew up in that world. So is it still appropriation? Because for all intents and purposes, it is his culture, right? Or am I missing something? And if Bruno grew up on funk music and it was a staple in his home, is that still appropriation for showing his appreciation? My aunt adopted 3 white siblings years ago to the U.S. They're black. But... oh, and to us, they're black, the U.S., but that's true, too. But when they go out into this world, I imagine they're called all kinds of wiggers and any other thing that can people can think to say. When these boys are with their friends and they say nigga, it's nothing to us, same as if a black cousin said it. But we all know if that shit got said around the wrong one, there could be trouble. I really get discombobulated about this topic. Yeah, that white people saying nigga shit, I just know the rules down here. Like, there ain't nobody ever
speak
for
nowhere
cool.
else in the country but down here.
Yeah,
if people make the assumption that, you know, we ain't, but like this, I can't one test drop rule you on the spot. So if you identify and have the characteristics of white, for the average person, gonna you white, don't say it.
Yeah, so I don't know the rules where y'all at. Y'all family might treat that shit different, but yeah, other motherfuckers do not let that shit slide. But yeah, that's the other thing though. The thing with Eminem is he grew up quote unquote around that culture, but he also knew not to violate in certain areas. Right. But when he was on stage with Dre and them, he'd be saying nigga to the song. Like if the song chorus had something nigga, he's singing it. Like I remember people trying to be like, see, he racist. I'm like, or he on a stage and the song has nigga in the chorus and everybody is saying the chorus, like
you robot.
Oh, okay, well let me refresh, guys, give me 1 second, sorry about that. Don't even know why that happened. I'll be right back. But yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like yes, you'll never see a white dude able to make music talking about nigga this and that in rap. Like, so there are lines that people don't, you know, don't let get crossed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I should be back on.
No problemo.
Well, yeah, there's lines people don't let you cross. Like, Eminem couldn't drop no niggas, but we might call him our nigga, you know, but you can't, but he can't say it.
Right, completely different.
Rachel Dolezal, whatever her new name is appropriation. Marshall Mathers, a.k.a. Eminem, my nigga. So are there rules to this? I'm just not one to be bothered by certain things, and I want to be careful to not get my black card snatched because I'm not jumping up to point out when people are wrongly appreciating blackness. Is there a handbook? Thanks to all your thought-provoking conversation, I love you guys. Lakita, dwelling out in the possibilities. I'll say this, Lakita, you just gotta take that chance. You just gonna have to be out there reading Tumblr. That's where you can go learn about appropriation. Now you're gonna be on that for hours and hours, if not days. Ooh, on end,
weeks and months.
But you gonna have to go to appropriation Tumblr and find all the rules.
Don't do it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I'll just tell you that much.
You're drowned in words.
Them motherfuckers got dissertations, dog. Ralph Tresvant slander and don't pay my calls. Oh, I already paid your calls. Rue says, hi, Ryder Karen. This is Rue, aka Kinky Hawk Curl. And although I've been away, I felt your call out of our sensitive Ralph T. Sorry. With a drawn loose cigarette was hilariously uncalled for. Fake outrage. Just kidding. No, apparently I kept getting cut off. So if you can note both calls, it's too late. I'm sorry. I played them.
Played them.
But I thought the calls were adorable. Really.
Me too.
Julie writes, hi, Rod and Karen. Hippie recognize hippie. Episode 1469, Negro Con recap. Here's the thing. Rod and Karen, here's the thing. When you say you've been on some hippie shit lately, I'm going to take the liberty of telling you that lately is underselling it. The reason I listen to you and Karen, in addition to being able to actually laugh about this terrible, ridiculous world, is because you represent and celebrate our resilience at every turn. You and Karen are always ultimately about peace and love, and it don't get no more hippie than that. It's that energy in your conversations that resonates with people. It's the fact that you can hold complexity, sit with it, make a joke out of it, and call out when it doesn't have anything to do with what's just or what's actually right. Hell, it's your ability to call ideas out for even trying to pass themselves off as complex when they're just painfully obvious, simple truths that make y'all such a harbor for us. We're validated by you and we're challenged by you. That's a formula for growth, and if growing makes us sound like hippies, I'm here for every single bit of it. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because we all about peace and love, like, really though. Like,
I'm about this war. I kill a nigga.
We don't do none of that here.
When you described the love and support you felt from your tribe at NegroCon, I like to think that was some of that hippie energy you were feeling in that experience. Maybe it's the times, truthfully though. When has there ever been a good time? That's a good point. Maybe it's just whatever life experience you accumulated so far that are informing how you're thinking about things. And maybe it's the fact that acting out of fear and ego preservation feels so counter to inner peace that you just don't want any of that if you can help it. I see you and Karen are striving to make common sense, in fact, more common. Anyway, that's where your allusions to your hippie thoughts led me. Just wanted to let you know that me too, also, in addition, as well as I feel you. As I refer to the writings of people who've been or are trying to stay in the same mind space, I've encountered a core philosophy, and that is build a society where it's easier for people to be good to each other. The struggle is real, and yet I see you and Karen trying to do your part to build that society, to make us feel like we matter, to make us feel real. So in the immortal words of a dearly departed disco diva, Sylvester, you make me feel mighty real. Anyway, thank you
Sylvester.
Thank you with love, Julie. P.S. I'll assume you let the Thurgood Marshall trailer during the BET Awards slide, recognizing his Chadwick Boseman's contractual obligation to fulfill a trilogy of biographical Negro figures of import before the revolution that is Black Panther is upon us in February. Oh, I just didn't mention it because y'all already know. Y'all, if you listen to this show, y'all already know. If it's a historical nigga to be played, it's going to be Chadwick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't even, I know it's all kinds of niggas that turned around at audition like, God damn, Chadwick here?
Take my name off the roll.
Right. You can just mark me down. Yeah, man, I have been on some hippie shit lately, man. I haven't even told all y'all all the stuff yet because I'm still fleshing some of it out. But, I don't know. I've just been thinking about things differently. I've been thinking about the way people interact, the way that we connect to each other. Mm-hmm. I feel like, we are all energy, because y'all know I don't really believe in religion and shit, but I do feel like we are all energy, and the way that we impact each other is a result of that energy, whether it be negative or positive.
Right.
I don't think you can do positive things with negative people.
Mm-mm.
You need people that's gonna support you. You need people that's focused on trying to put some good out in the world. And there's a lot of people that's disguised as one or the other, but you know, I think that energy though, and knowing how it impacts each other, how it like fuels each other, I think that's important, man. I think I would like for my legacy on this planet to be that I spread positive energy towards people and try to make them feel included and try to make them feel appreciated more so than taken from people. And I do feel like you know, if like, we don't have the science behind it yet. Like, we don't have the numbers. Like, I don't know how you, but it doesn't mean it's not real. Cause I do know when we all have been in a situation where somebody came in a room with a sour attitude and we could feel it.
Yes, sir.
But we've also been in a situation where you came in with a sour attitude, but because of the way we interact with each other and like the way that equation would work out, it almost like you absorb some of their energy and they take a little bit of your negative and it increases you. And we've had situations where we've been decreased by other people. If you've had a bad manager or something like, I feel like it's real. I feel like emotional energy is not really respected. It's not really discussed. It's not really, it's just seen as like this, and maybe because people associate it with being a woman and feminine and shit, but
right, but that ain't got nothing to do with it. But yes, because I've been in a situation where people walk in the room and you could, the whole energy of the room changes off of one person.
Yeah, and I feel like social media is a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really, because you don't have a physical body, you don't have to be in someone's physical presence to still be affected by their mood. And
right,
you know, some people are more protective of their mood, some people are more adversarial with their stuff, some people are belligerent, some people are welcoming. Like, it just depends on the people, but everybody has like this addition and subtraction over their head almost, that they're constantly looking to fix this equation, to solve it, to get to wherever they feel they need to be. So I think that's a lot of it to me. And I think you know, kind of seeing the world that way, it changes how I view certain people and shit, because sometimes I just see, like, nobody wants to be injured, nobody wants to be sucked dry, but at the mm-mm. same time, like, sometimes I see people and I'm just like, oh, that person's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. they're just in pain. Oh, that person's just protecting their ego. Mm-hmm. That person's just protecting their energy. Mm-hmm. And some people are protecting their injuries, but
right.
The point being, like, that's how I view a lot of shit now. And I know that's kind of weird, but you know, I feel like you know, when you whenever someone's gone, like, some people have had such drastic effects. That's why we feel bad when people die, knowing that that energy is gone. But that's really, that energy is dissipated to all of us. Like, when George Michael dies, all the music that he's ever, all the ways he's made us feel, all the ways you dance, that still exists in the world. And when a song comes on, you can still feel that. When people hear our podcast, they can still feel that. When people interact with you and stuff, like, when people, like, it all just kind of matters. So that's why I say I'm on some hippie shit. That's kind of just part of the way I've been thinking, like, for a while now, because it's just like, you know, some of these fights and shit, I see people fighting, I'm like, you're not really fighting that person, you're fighting the world, and you're fighting something inside of you to find a balance. You need, there's something that you need, and I don't, like, I can't give it to you necessarily, right. But there's something that you need, and it's not this Twitter fight, it's not this Facebook fight,
something bigger.
It's not, yeah, it's not whatever this thing with your ego. It's something bigger in the universe that you need, that's not, and you feel imbalanced inside. And that's why you see people that are always on the attack. You see people that are always looking to fall out with somebody, looking for a fight when there isn't a fight, looking to, you know, looking to people that I can never be wrong, people that can't keep friends. It's imbalances in people, and if we don't get to the core how to solve that, then none of this shit matters, because once you out of this sucker, you gone, you know, and all people have left is the energy and the effect that you had on them. That's what people remember as their memories and shit is,
right?
You know, oh, I remember her, she was a real piece of work, you know, I remember this person, oh, they were a real sweet person, they were nice.
Negative or positive, people remember. Yeah,
that's all people got when you gone. So I would like to have as many people as possible that I did interact with remember me fondly, and I would like to do the same with them, you know.
Yeah, same here. And that's why I try my best, even though it's easier on some days than others, but I try my best to be very positive and have a very positive outlook, you know, kind of rainbows and sunshine every single day. Because it's one of those things to where, like I said, you don't know how you affect people, your interaction with people and things like that. And it's one of the things where I know that a lot of people kind of feed off my positive energy, you know, because I have people say, you brighten my day, you know, I enjoy your energy. And I remember one time, it was hilarious. I worked at Papa John's years ago, and somebody asked me, it was a white male employee. He said, Karen, I said, yes. He was like, do you have a period? I say, yes, I do. Yeah, I have a period.
That's a very inappropriate question to ask at work.
But okay. I was a child. I was like 16, 17. Now as an adult, I'm like, you know, I would respond completely different now.
Right.
So this is when I was younger and first started working.
He's trying to imply that because you must not ever get a period because you never have an attitude.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's real fucked up. But I feel right. What you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now looking back on it, I understand that. But at the time, I looked at him like, I was like, yes, I do. I'm fine. Like, that ain't got nothing to do with anything, you know. But yeah. It was just weird. But yeah, like, and I never really thought of it like that before. But as you said it, yeah, that's why he implied that.
But that's also why there's people that you might not even disagree with them. You might actually agree with them, but you have to have them out of your life because the imbalance is that they're always sucking out of people.
Right. They're always
just every time they show up, this is what's wrong. This is what I don't like about that.
They never give. It's always tight.
My life is the worst. Nothing is good. I'm not thankful for anyone or anybody. And also, you know, even like I said, even when I look at like events like this album and how people receive the album for Jay-Z, the album is the event and the tentacles are all of us sucking off of it, getting our attention and giving our opinions and thoughts on it, mm-hmm. including this podcast.
Right.
But sometimes it's like you can just feel like certain people, you're like, well, they're going to treat it in the most negative light they can. They're gonna treat it in the most positive light they can. But because it's like people have energy and they have vibes and shit, and that's just the level they vibing on all the time. But we all don't vibe and get along, and people are looking for their tribe so they can kind of like hook up and feel more powerful and feel more complete. Even the, like I said, even the people that go, everybody's a sheep, are saying it to each other. Because they a flock of sheep. But they over there and they own her, like,
mm-hmm.
so that's how I look at shit. Anyway, sorry, big ass tangent. Marissa writes in, dear Rod and Karen, first let me say congrats to y'all blowing up, very much deserved. Another shout out to your dad Rod. I too am a Duke Blue Devil fan, and in spite of your UNC love, Kit Kat me shoes, I still rock with you. Thank you. Once again, I for one am tired of the blatant tape Serena gets steeped in racism and misogyny. Just this week, tired bitter ass John McEnroe, who spent Venus and Serena's whole career disrespecting them, decided to chime in on a dumbass question to try and diminish Serena's career. Serena basically told him to keep my name out your mouth as politely as one could ever do. Then we got the Washington Post Robin, whatever her name is, this irrelevant bitch, whose career seems to be of the Whitlock Sage Steel variety, the black person white people flock to who shit on other black people. All of a sudden, after damn near 30 years of this naked pregnancy shoots by celebs, now for some reason the trend needs to end with Beyonce and Serena. They were cool with Britney, Christina, Natalie Portman, Shakira, etc. No think pieces at all. Gee, why is that? Matter of fact, the last 10 years, average women all over the world have been doing these pregnancy shoots, yet Beyonce and Serena are supposed to be making other women feel insecure. That's each individual woman's workout to work out in her own insecurity, and people need to stop putting it on black women. Clearly, they are threatened by black women's embracing of our bodies. They are putting it out there when the narrative's been since forever, we aren't worthy. So many hate black women loving ourselves. We are supposed to feel inferior and like shit and unhappy all the time. I say Beyonce and Serena need to just roll out naked pregnancy delivery, post-delivery pics, and let them hating hoes seethe. Listen, not only could I not agree with you more,
come on.
I would go, here's the thing with John McEnroe that's even shadier than that. I've seen McEnroe give her props.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen him defend her.
Yeah, he knows
multiple times. Mm-hmm. But now he got a book to sell.
Right.
So he hopped right on that third rail, which is criticizing Serena, because he knew that shit brings attention to his book. Secondly, the little journalist that was interviewing him, she ain't slick either. because she knew what she was doing with that question. He said, if you look at the context of that interview, he just had said she is the greatest female tennis player of all time, period, hands down. Then she goes, only just female, because she knew what it was, a loaded question, so he would have to be like, well, I don't think she could beat a man in tennis. Which, honestly, one, who's to determine what the measure of greatness is?
Right.
Because if we just looking at accomplishments, fuck them men too. Right? If I beat all the niggas in front of me, that's the only thing I can do. Like, I don't know, you know, like, it's like being like, is Diana Taurasi ain't great because she can't dump like Jordan? It's like, well, she's not playing Jordan. She's dominating the people she's playing. You can take it real literal, or you can just be, when you say greatness, understand that greatness is not necessarily a measurable term that is measured in the same way every time. Anyway, because when I think of greatness, I think about her endorsements. I think about the fact that she's for equal pay for and how the strides that her and her sister have made to get the Tennis Association on that. I think about the fact that she is so pro-black and outspoken about it. I think about the fact that she's on the board of a Survey Monkey, which is one of those tech companies out there in Silicon Valley. I think about her impact as a celebrity, as a sex symbol, as an athlete, as a spokesperson, all this shit. Like, all that shit adds up to greatness to me. So I don't know, you know, and well, who the fuck is John McEnroe for us to give a fuck what he think? Mr. I'ma yell during a tennis match and get damn near kicked off the court every time. Like, he's just a hothead loudmouth that needs to sell a book in 2017. Ain't nobody worried about that shit. It's only the people's obsession with Serena that killed me. His shit wasn't even as bad as, like, to me, his problem was he doubled down and then he said some shit about she's just emotional because she's pregnant. He's a piece of shit trying to promote his book, period. And people shouldn't even, I hope nobody buys that piece of shit book. But the other woman though, the fuck was her name again? I just remember because it was super whack. It was like Robin something. Anyway, whatever her name was, right? We don't even know her name. We don't even know her name. Mm-hmm. That's what the motherfucking problem is, by the way, with her and a gang of fucking white women that she could have ghostwritten for because they all sound the same. That's the problem. We don't know y'all name and we don't give a fuck if y'all pregnant or not. Mm-hmm. We don't give a fuck about your relationship. Right. We don't give a fuck what you do. And you just somehow you mad cause some black women, cause you didn't call out these other women. Natalie Portman was just celebrating her pregnancy with a motherfucking full ass music video and a magazine cover. And nobody had a goddamn problem with it. Isn't that amazing? Between Beyonce and Serena, you had this motherfucker celebrating her pregnancy and the world just understood. Hey, hashtag pregnancy goals, right? It was fine then. Nobody said, what about the unrealistic ideals of her not having stretch marks? Nobody said it. Everybody was just like, oh, Natalie Portman having a baby. Congratulations to her and her husband, or however she having that baby. That was the end. It wasn't no fucking, I didn't see not one think piece. Not one headline. And I guarantee this woman didn't write shit about it when it happened. Mm-mm. Then she got, so I read this article. And all I'm saying is this. I'm not saying you can't disagree as a black woman. Of course you can disagree. But when your shit sounds just like white people, I have to wonder, like, what the fuck you were coming from.
Right.
Because to me, it sounds just like that white woman that wrote that shit about Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Crying.
Also, she was comfortable with the swimsuit issue for Serena. She was comfortable with the body issue or whatever for Serena. Somehow she not comfortable with Serena Williams pregnant on the cover of Vanity. That's too much. Now you done? You tapping out? Let me tell you something, dog. Cause she was trying to be like, they just buying into this self-importance. Nobody cares. You motherfucking wrong. A lot of people care. A lot of people care. A lot of black women care. Cause Serena been, her whole life she been plagued with, she ain't attractive. She been plagued with, she's a man. She's been plagued with, this black woman playing with these delicate white flowers. And, you know, this, like, Sharapova gets umpteen motherfucking thousand endorsements with a cheating ass. And nobody got a motherfucking problem with that though, right? right? Like, she's just cheating, but she still, hey, I still gotta keep this Nike job. That's fine.
Didn't lose her endorsements.
Right. That's fine, right? That's right. She got all the motherfucking horse steroids in her ass, and that's absolutely motherfucking fine, right? She over here on the motherfucking, the Captain America serum and shit, just so she can get her ass whooped by Serena. Sometimes, when Serena's pregnant, with Serena, like, any version of Serena, she can't be. That's the only thing I was mad about. She was suspended when Serena was pregnant, because I wish she could have played and whooped her ass pregnant and be like, and my baby already 1-0 against your sorry ass. Anyway, nobody got a problem with her though, right? Like someone actually had the words come out their mouth to say Serena shouldn't have been in the swimsuit issue because that undermined her wanting equal pay for women in tennis. How the fuck? How do those two things even matter? You right. Pay me what you motherfucking owe me. Nobody want to watch the men's tennis no more. They tune in to see me.
Don't.
And when I'm not playing, they don't give a fuck about your sport. So pay me my motherfucking money. So that's another one. The other thing too, she is a celebrity. So niggas do care about her being pregnant. Yes. So was Beyonce. Beyonce shit was on Instagram. It wasn't even on a fucking magazine. Mm-hmm. How the fuck are you mad if she put some shit on Instagram? You put some shit on Instagram. It's not her fault she famous. If a motherfucker put some shit on Instagram and everybody wanna see it, then guess what? That's the people speaking. People give a fuck about Beyonce's pregnancy, who had multiple miscarriages. You know how many women have had miscarriages that look up to Beyonce and go, oh cool, goals, I got a chance, I'm happy for her, it makes me think of myself. Look how many women look at Serena, a woman that people are like, too manly, she'll never get a man, I'll tell you that. See her pregnant body on the cover and go, look at the maternal glory that this woman is espousing right now to everybody, and go, I'm getting my motherfucking life as a black woman to this shit. It's always when black women get their joy that we gotta have these conversations where it's like, how can I derail this shit? Why can't we just say, congrats, good for Serena. You could have saved your exact fucking draft for the next white woman to get a cover and write that shit about her and Natalie Portman, but you won't. They never do. That's the problem. That's the only shit that bothers me, is that we can't stay consistent, because I know for a fact this shit is racially motivated. That's it. We had a whole fucking breakdown like 2 years ago on the show where somebody wrote this article about Serena's body and how it was unfair advantage to, and these white women just weren't winning because they didn't want to lift weights and shit, and it wasn't any skill to Serena. She's just overpowering everybody. And some dumbass white woman wrote our motherfucking show trying to act like, no, it's not racism. It's, bitch, I know when it's motherfucking racism because I'm black. I can tell it. I can smell it. I can fucking sense that shit. So yeah, it's racist for y'all to take Serena's cover and start dissecting in the other shit about, she's not really a celebrity. We don't care. Well, I don't know. She's on the cover of Vanity for some reason. I don't know. Why is she on the cover? Why do we give a fuck about who she's married to? Nobody knew that white man's name till he showed up with Serena, and we was like, who this white man? Now everybody like, oh, that's her husband, y'all, fiance even. We care about when she gets married. We care about when she's dating. We care when she dated Drake, when she dated Kanye. We care about all that shit. We care when she win the tournament. We care what she's wearing. We care when she's in a swimsuit. And we care when she's eating a motherfucking sandwich, because she's a goddamn celebrity. So her pregnancy is news. How the fuck can we pretend that this shit isn't news? It's fucking infuriating, and it feels just like we all being gaslit for some reason, where it's like, nah, nothing to see here, guys. No one gives a fuck. I'm sorry. I guess I'm no one then, because I do give a fuck, and I do root for Serena, and I'm proud, and I'm happy for her to be on the cover, and I hope that these motherfuckers leave her alone during her pregnancy and stop talking shit about her, and I hope that everything go okay with the baby. I don't know. If we had this reverence for pregnancy, can't you at least save your hot take till the baby come out then? Like, she clearly said she reading this shit. She like, damn, John, can you just keep my name out your mouth? Listen, bitch, you pregnant. That's why you acting this way. Man, I hope she smacked this nigga with a tennis racket the next time she see him. It's, anyway, my point is, it's fucked up, and we all see it, and it's a clear double standard against Serena and Beyonce and black women, and it's ridiculous, and I hate that people act like they don't see it too. And she was clearly trolling, because she was all on, I didn't talk to the author, I didn't add her or nothing, but she was clearly on Twitter the whole goddamn day like, I'm just a black woman disagree. Well, you can disagree with my disagreement. God, you must need the clicks. I know they just laid off all them people at MTV, so maybe you just need the clicks, dog. Maybe you, this how you gonna keep your job. Maybe that's it. And worst case, even worst case, which I always start with. Maybe you believe that shit, and that's even worse. That's even more disgusting. Secondly, Rod, you titling this orange joke with the title of president, that y'all man, was spot on. This white people entire L, they gotta own it. Everything Trump does proves that many of us, especially those in New York, that he ain't shit and never been shit and never gonna be shit. The fake condemnation from many is pathetic. He was like this before November 8th, but now he talking about Mika Faye, y'all. They were cool to still elect him. 53%, high 53% white women. Never forget that bunch. The Republicans that fake condemn Trump, then turn around to co-sign his trash policies can shut up too. Right. John McCain can suck my dick. Meek and Joe were cool when this man was, trashing everybody else, HRC. Including HRC. Hell, they interviewed this fool while wearing pajamas once. They're not getting no case from me. The maggots, aka Make America Great Again, voted for Trump for this reason. Yeah, white people tripping right now talking about this the line. Okay, white people. Lastly, there needs to be some law that bans white people from owning acoustic guitars and Rod from playing their terrible ass covers. Man, I'm pretty sure the Eighth Amendment views this as cruel and unusual punishment. Karen Queen Mother, help us to end this torture. Love, y'all. Marissa from the Bronx. Well, I was with you to the end, Marissa. Now I don't know. Talissa says, hi Rod and Karen. Oh, I don't, this one, I don't know if you want us to read this on the air, but she was saying that we should look into trying to get on the Essence Fest or something, but she ain't had no links on how to do it. I don't know, maybe we'll see. I think them niggas need to holler at us. You need to be writing Essence Fest and saying, what do y'all need to do to get the blackout tips here? Cause, you know, I don't know if you know this, but, we're kind of a big deal. So motherfuckers ask us to go places, not the other way around. No offense to Essence Fest, but you know, holler at your niggas. 1473. Yo, Rod and Queen Karen, is from Tyrone. About the story in Lakeland, Florida. I live in the city. Sorry. This didn't make the news locally, and I bet it was a person of color who assisted the child. Lakeland is a 90% white city, and I have no problem believing that resident would think that someone who is trying to kidnap or harm someone doesn't look like them. It's fucked up how you can't attempt to do the right thing, but you're subjected to criminal charges. Not Trump's America, but regular America. You gotta play guess the race on that one. I, as a black man, don't even go running at night in the city because I know this is a Trump city, and I'm just trying to live, drink occasionally, and do black people shit. We're just that's a good goal right there. Put that on the shirt. Trying to live, drink occasionally, and do black people shit. We're just trying to make the best of a mess situation. Can the next NegroCon be in the A? Us Floridians will travel, keep on keeping on. Maybe we'll see. Kim writes in, I'm not sure if my voicemail went through, but just wanted to drop a quick line, say thank you for putting me on the title. First, I was blessed with all of Prince's music. When other sources didn't have it, and now 444. Listen, 444 reminds me of how your comments got me to switch from Apple Music to Tidal. Much love. It's so black. Oh, also, Jay-Z and Beyonce promoting the fuck out of that platform. Bravo. Motherfuckers, you know, always got some slick shit to say, but they know what they doing. When they sell that shit eventually for a big ass increase, everybody gonna be like, well, goddamn, they did it again. But they know what they doing.
Yeah, and Sprint got that free shit, and you didn't sign up. So like, no, what you ain't gonna do is sign up today.
Right. Hi, Rider Karen. Let me just start off by saying I was so excited to see y'all at NegroCon. This from Nell. I had such a good time meeting everyone. Like Rod, being an introvert and around a group of people is tiring for me. Jared also left me to go and mingle with people, but it was fine. I got to talk to people like Wanga and Ed and Brandon. Plus, it was worth it to get a hug from Karen.
Oh,
I really hope you guys enjoy the Afro Head rum. Oh, we shall.
Yes, thank you, baby.
I think I'm gonna mix it with some Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
I know y'all like wine as well, so we need to figure out a way to get y'all some Stella Rosa peach. When I tell you that shit will have you singing, smiley face. Anyways, I'm going to keep this short. I feel like you guys would have loved BlurCon. It's relatively new, but I love it. Some of the panels were lit. Here's a few pictures from the day one. Take care. Oh, she included some pictures of them cosplaying stuff. Hold on, let me put this in the chat so y'all can see it. This is adorable though. And I didn't know about BlurCon, man. Is that a Black Girl Nerds thing or is that something else?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just literally hadn't known nothing about it, but BlurCon does sound dope. Yep. Wally, Flash. Is that Rick and Morty? Black Rick and Morty? Oh, nigga.
Yes, that's so cute.
Oh, Riri. Oh, you got Star Trek.
This
is fucking adorable. I couldn't.
Oh, that melts your heart right now.
I couldn't go see it because I would just be in there crying all day. Like, look at these beautiful black peoples. They're so beautiful, nerds. Episode 1472, Racism Overload by Kimori, who says, "Hi, Rod and Karen. I love your show, and I've been an avid listener since I stumbled upon it a year ago. At first, I thought the show was going to be about eating out at different restaurants, and I almost unsubscribed to it, but I'm glad I clicked play. Anyway, this episode made one thing clear. We need white people news. Seriously, white people news, a therapeutic buffer from all the depressing fuckery that goes on. I was so depressed after this episode, I had to go back to a white people news segment on a previous episode to get my spirits back up. As for NegroCon 2017, it was awesome hearing the episode, and let me just say, hearing a whole group of people singing along to the songs is so awesome. I'm surprised you didn't do the Negan lean. Ha! Anyway, greeting from Northern Canada, and keep up the good work. The Negan lean. That would be pretty good. Alright, man, that's everything. Woo! This, turned out to be a long one. I didn't mean for it to be, but we got to talking. We will talk to y'all, tomorrow at 10 a.m. with, Marsha and Ray from Miss Sandry yes. podcast, which if you guys haven't listened to, you should all go check it out. Kill All Men. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.